Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Saraswatim Vyasam. Tato Jayam Udirayat. Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead. Narayan, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Oh, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being. Unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning. Unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. And we also like to recognize and offer our respectful obeisances unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, because if we didn't have the translation, we didn't have the comments, we wouldn't really understand what the essence of the Bhagavatam is. And that's what this verse talks about today, the essence. So here it is, first canto, chapter 1, text 11. Burini, buri karmani. Shrotavyani vibhagasa. Shrotavyani vibhagasha. Atasadhotra yatsaram. Samudritya manishaya. Buri badraya bhutanam. Yenatma supersedati. Burini, buri karmani. Shrotavyani vibhagasha. Atasadotrayacharam. Samudritya manishaya. Bruhi badraya bhutanam. Yenatma supersedati. Please chant. Buri karmani. Shrotavyani vibhagasha. Tatra saram. Budhya manishaya. Buri badraya bhutanam. Yenatma supersedati.
Burini, buri karmani.
Shrotavyani vibhagasha. Samudritya manishaya. Others, classes? Vibhagavasam.
Atasadotrayatsaram.
Samudritya Manishaya.
Buri
Vatraya Bhutana.
Yenatma Suprasidati.
Buri Buri Nikarmani.
Shrotavyani Vibhavasha.
Atasadotrayacharam.
Samudritya Manishaya.
Puri Bhadraya Bhutanam.
Yenatma Suprasidati.
Burini.
Multifarious.
Buri.
Many.
Karmani.
Duties.
Shrotavyani.
To be learned.
Vibhagasa.
By divisions of subject matter.
Atta.
Therefore.
Sadho.
O sage.
Atra.
Herein.
Yat.
Whatever.
Sharam.
Essence.
Sharam.
Essence.
Sharam.
Essence.
Just want to make sure you got that point.
Okay,
because this is the whole point, the essence.
Samudritya,
by selection.
Manishaya,
best to your knowledge.
Bruhi,
please tell us.
Bhadraya,
for the good of all.
Good of.
Bhutanam,
the living beings.
Yena,
by which.
Atma,
the self,
supersedati,
becomes fully satisfied.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions, their hearts may be fully satisfied. So there's a lot in this verse. There's a lot of points in this verse. So let's just do your best and let's repeat it together, okay? And try to concentrate on what they're telling us. Okay, together. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all these scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instructions their hearts may be fully satisfied. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Atma, or self, is distinguished from matter and material elements. It is spiritual in constitution, and thus it is never satisfied by any amount of material planning. Now that's something to take home with you, okay? So right there in that sentence, Srila Prabhupada starts off, it appears that he starts off on a whole nother topic, doesn't it? Because here he's talking about, please explain the essence. Then he starts to talk about Atma. Why does he do that? Because he wants to make it clear who and what we're trying to satisfy here. The sages, they know so many things and so many scriptures. But if you want to be fully satisfied, you have to know the essence of the self. Here I am starting the class. I haven't even finished the purport. All scriptures and scriptural instructions are meant for the satisfaction of this self or Atma. There are many varieties of approaches which are recommended for different types of living beings in different times and at different places. In other words, we're not all one. Consequently, the numbers of revealed scriptures are innumerable. There are different methods and prescribed duties recommended in these various scriptures. Taking into consideration the fallen condition of the people in general in this age of Kali, the sages of Naimisharanya suggest that Sri Suta Goswami relate the essence of all such scriptures, because in this age it is not possible for the fallen souls to understand and undergo the lessons of all these various scriptures in the Varna and Ashram system. The Varna and Ashram society was considered to be the best institution for lifting the human being to the spiritual platform, but due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute the rules and regulations of these institutions, nor is it possible for the people in general to completely sever relations with their families as the Varnashram institution prescribes. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. After considering this, one can see that spiritual emancipation for the common man in this age is very difficult. The reason the sages present this matter to Sri Suta Goswami is explained in the following verses. Omagina timirandasya jinanjana salakaya chaksu umiditam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master very kindly forced open my eyes, which were like, had them glued shut. I didn't want to open them. But he kept saying so many things that talked about the Atma, the essence of the self, that he forced my eyes open. So I'm eternally indebted to him and beg for service life after life. So here, Srimad Bhagavatam, we've been just now stepping into the vast ocean of the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam. In this first chapter, we're building a foundation, a philosophical foundation, so that we have an understanding, so that we can go gradually through the lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam with a solid, proper understanding of who we are, who the Lord is, and how to get there. So here in this verse, Srila Suta Goswami, the sages are asking Suta Goswami, just give us the essence, will you? Please, please, pretty please, will you just tell us what the gist is? So when we say Vedic literature, you can say it really easy, Veda, it's only four little letters, it's really easy. Vedic literatures, it's a huge body of literature, huge. Just like if you go into your house and you have a set of Bhagavatams, right? You have a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas, right? And you have Bhagavad Gita and you have some other bhakti scriptures there. Just to read those literatures. What if Mother Jai Shri Radhi says to her class, okay, your homework assignment this weekend is to go read the whole Bhagavatam and write an essay on the whole Bhagavatam. What would you think? That's a lot of work. It's like impossible. Even if she says, okay, all right, everybody complains and they say, we don't have enough time. It's too much work in too short a time. She says, okay, I'll give you another week. Not enough time. Another year, not enough time. It's not enough time. There's so much, and that's just Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srimad Bhagavatam is just one little, it's the essence, but it's one little part of what's considered the Vedic literature. So how many of you have been inside the Gainesville Library? You've been inside there. Yeah, Gainesville Library. So what if your assignment was to read all the books in the Gainesville Library? Whoa, that's a lot. So, and that's just, how many of you have been inside the Library of Congress when you go to Washington? You've been inside the library? Amazing, amazing, right? Huge amounts of writing. So Vedic literature is huge. And did you ever come across the question, why is there so many spiritual literature? Why is there so much spiritual literature? Why isn't there just Bhagavad Gita? Gaurasundara?
Prabhu? Gaurachandra, that one. He's the, what was D? Okay. Whoever you are, spirit soul, please speak up. Yep, it's true. There's so many different types of people. As you've noticed, even in your classroom probably has 20 students, maybe has 30, maybe. I don't know. I don't know your sizes, but it doesn't have that many. But there's so many varieties. There's the wiggly ones, there's the studious ones, there's the funny joker ones, there's the, you know, so many varieties of people. Some you're more tightly friends with and some you're less tightly friends with, but they all have different interests. And yet, just consider your teacher's duty to get all of those different types of minds and interests and bring them about to teach them, you know, ABCs or basic understanding of knowledge, and gradually you progress onward. So that's why there's so many different types of scripture, because not everybody's on the same page, as they say, right? Try to get everybody on the same page. It only seems like everybody's on the same page until you sit down and talk about it. And then you see, oh, there's so many different understandings and different takes on it. So Srimad Bhagavatam of Vedas, the Vedas are described as merciful like a mother. So a mother, she's very merciful to her kids. She's always thinking about the welfare of her kids, what they need, this, that, so many things. But the Vedas are merciful like millions of mothers, because the mother's interested in her kids and she has an extended area of interest, but there's only so many people that you can like really relate with and take care of nicely. But the Vedas, they're interested in taking care of everyone, the ones that are all on different pages, the ones that are really interested in spiritual advancement, and the ones that are not so interested in spiritual advancement, also something is there for them. So the sages, these sages at Naimisharanya, they're understanding that people are all over the place. And there's a vast amount of literature. And we only have a certain amount of time. We only have a little bit of time. Yesterday's verse gave a little description of the challenges of the people in this age. Even though you weren't here, do you know some of the challenges of people in this age? Bad memory. What'd you say? Yeah, bad memory. Bad memory. Short lived. They don't live very long. Disturbed, quarrelsome, unlucky, misled, easily misled. Those are some of the, those are like across the board. In other words, everyone has those challenges. So when people have those kind of challenges, how can we tell them, okay, come on in. We're going to take 1,000 years now and we're going to study the scriptures and bring you all onto the same page. They understood that for the people in general, that wouldn't be possible. So they're asking for what? The essence. And everyone but you, if you could try to say, what do you remember what the Sanskrit word for the essence was? Saram. Do you remember? Are you Nitai? Do you remember what essence is? That's close. Atma means the self. And the essence of the Vedic scripture is called Sharam, the essence. So let's think of that. So if you had, there's different examples that are given so that we can understand what the essence is. There's an example about milk. Can you tell me what that example is? Can you further develop that example about milk? If you want the essence of milk, or the best part of the milk, we could ask, Gopal, you should know the answer to that question by firsthand experience, or maybe Surya too. Okay, what's the best part of the milk? What happens to the milk after it all, you know, gets milked and sits in your container and then in your refrigerator for some time? Especially right from your cows. Aha. Surya might know. Something rises to the top. Is that a good enough hint? I mean, that's like such a big hint, man. Cream.
the cream, because it's the essence of the milk. It's the best part of the milk, in other words. It's so nice. You can just do so many things with the cream. Okay, now let's say you were a little bee. Ready? So if you had to go to 10 bazillion flowers just to get your dinner, flowers, and you're a bee. So what's the essence of the flower? What the bee? Yes, I don't know your name. Okay, pollen. And what do the bees do with the pollen? Honey. So you could say that the essence, thank you. So the essence of the flower is the honey that the bees extract. So they want to get, they're going through everything and they want to get the thing that's gonna give them the most benefit. Can you think of some other examples of getting the essence of something? Can you think of another example? We've got honey from the flowers. We've got the cream from the milk. Can you think of any other example of something that you get of getting essence from? That could be your homework assignment. You can't.
We have some extracts.
Extracts. Okay.
Extracted from the.
Okay, that's good, from the trees or from wherever, and they get the essence. Anyone else? Sorry, I can't. Who was that? Gee, I should have thought of that one. Thanks. Yeah, it's true. And then you get the essence of the sugar cane, you get that juice, and then you boil that juice and you cook it down more and you get a thickened and so. So this is what the sages are asking. And what are they asking? They're not only asking for that essence, but they're also asking, we want it for the benefit of all the people. Not just a few, not just Americans, not just the Banna school, you know, no, everybody, not just Alachua, whatever. We want it beneficial for everyone, all those different paths of life. What is that? So the sages are explaining that people are challenged by so many difficulties and shortcomings, that they're challenged by so many different circumstances in life that it's very difficult to concentrate. So the sages are asking again and again. They're begging, please give us the essence. You've studied everything. Sutta Goswami had studied everything. Please give us the essence. So where did he hear that essence from? Where did Sutta Goswami hear that the essence that he's about to repeat? Okay. Tomohar Prabhu. Thank you. So Sutta Goswami, he heard it from Maharaj Sukadev Goswami, because he was in the audience when Sukadev was speaking to Maharaj Parikit. So there gives us a clue again. How are we going to get to get the essence or imbibe the essence? We need to hear. We need to hear it from the proper source. And when we hear from the proper source, then we become aligned, in tune with the essence of the scriptures. And Srila Prabhupada, he's even so kindly presented it in a very palatable, very tasty way for all of us, and Lord Chaitanya, because he's expanding on the instructions of Lord Chaitanya, to, in this age of Kali, people have hardly any memory, they're short-lived, as we said, but what can they do? They can chant Hare Krishna. They can chant Hare Krishna, which is the essence of all the conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. So just like we heard in the first verse in the Bhagavatam, the very first words, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And Srila Vyasadeva in his verse, and Prabhupada in the commentary, explains right off the bat, right from page one of the Bhagavatam, that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya means God's a person. And he's the son of Vasudev, Krishna, the son of Vasudev. We're focusing in on Krishna, the son of Vasudev, who's Vasudev. And That's our focus, because there we'll happily get all the instructions and benefit that we need. So one time, back a few years ago, one of the ashram girls, they asked me, how do we know that this is the best scripture? Because everybody, any religious person or any person who's in, has an affiliation with any particular spiritual group, they're aligned with it. They take up that process because they're considering it the best thing. So everybody says that they have the best thing, don't they? Or else why would they be doing it? Well, I'm doing this. I know it's not the best thing. Well, sometimes we do that, but anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm doing this because this is my understanding of what the best process of spiritual advancement is. So everybody says that. That's what I was taught when I was growing up, going to parochial school, that this was the best thing, and only the Catholics were going to heaven and everybody else was going to hell. And we might have a tendency also to think similar, that only the Hare Krishnas, only the ISKCON Hare Krishnas are going to back to Godhead, and everyone else is going in other places. And someone else even might think, well, only the students in the Banna school are making progress. Well, you know, I mean, we can focus it in, but actually, how do we know this is the best? What's your thought on that? Pran Govinda Prabhu. Super Shiddhati.
Satisfy the Supreme Lord and satisfy the self.
Yeah. Okay. But isn't that what everyone's thinking when they're following their religious affiliation?
They don't even go to serve. I went to church. They're not thinking of devotional service.
They just want to go to heaven. For what?
When I asked the questions.
Well, for time, so we don't have to serve. But nothing to do with this pleasing the Lord.
Uh-huh. Okay. Gopal, did you have something you wanted to add? Thank you, Prabhu. Here comes the microphone because we know it's very important. Hold on.
And sometimes they don't even follow what they're, like,
instructions
are. Or they kind of change things up and kind of accommodate them to their own feel.
Yeah.
And they kind of change everything. And plus, this is proven in so many ways.
It's proven because, and that's, all that you're saying is totally correct. Thanks. Let's investigate it a little more. Mother Jai Shri Radhe Prabhu, pass the mic over, please.
I mean, can't people follow many paths? And
mm-hmm.
as long as they follow it with sincerity and without concoction, there are many ways to get to God.
There's many different scriptures. There are many different scriptures.
For many different people.
For many different people. And gradually one will get to the right path. Just like, let's look at the example in a different way and come back to this point. Just like in the old days, hundreds of millions of years ago, before Google Maps and GPSs and everything, okay, if you're on the East Coast, let's just say Boston, okay, you're on the East Coast and you want to get to Washington, not D.C., but Washington State on the West Coast, okay, how are you going to get there? Compass, that's true. There's many ways to get there. That's a point that we're trying to get. We'll bring it down. There's many ways to get there. You could go, yes, Mata? Okay, there's many ways to get there, but if you want to go the direct route, you need the guidance, you need some sort of map, you need some sort of whatever, whatever device you use to get your directions. But there are many ways. You could even go south, you could even go here, you could go there. So there are many ways, but if you want to make the best progress, in the most efficient way, there's a certain way, which I have no clue how it is, but it's still, there's a way you can go. Route 66, probably not, but anyway. So this is what the Bhagavatam is giving us. And this is how we can understand in one aspect of how this knowledge is, because it's so complete, it's so rounded, it's so fulfilling. Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, explains that this knowledge is the king of education. And why is it the king? Because it gives each one of us direct perception of the self, and it's everlasting, and it's joyfully performed. So we can attest to that. And it's not like, just like in school, there's certain testing procedures and this and that. Did you learn this? Did you learn that? And then you think you learned it, but then you took the test and you got not such a high grade because what you thought was the answer was different from what the teacher thought was the answer, because they knew what the answer was. Anyway, so your grade wasn't so high. So that happens a lot, right? Sometimes. But the knowledge of bhakti yoga is such that if one applies themselves to the process, then one who's thoughtful can actually feel for themselves, I'm making progress. I'm making progress. I don't need a certificate from others to say I'm making progress. And the example that Srila Prabhupada uses is like eating. So we're eating, and it's not like somebody else comes to say, except sometimes mothers do that. Okay, that's enough. You don't have to eat anymore. But anyway, sometimes you're eating, and what's happening? You're simultaneously getting nutrition, your hunger is being satisfied, and you're feeling energized because of that. It all happens kind of simultaneously. You can't say which happens first, whatever. They're all kind of simultaneously happening. So similarly, in devotional service, if you take to the process properly without concocting or changing or cherry picking, they would say, I like this, but I don't like that. So I'll do this, but I won't do that. That's there a little bit, but you have to try to get over that part. And take all the instructions to your best ability and apply them. So can you think of the personality who, at a young age, assimilated all of those things and was able to teach even the adults what the essence of bhakti yoga was? Not yet. A young personality. Ragatmika Prabhu? Oh, I didn't hear you? Okay. Kunjabihara. Prahlad, thanks. Prahlad. So what was, okay, now here's the next, Kunjabihari, here's the next part of the question. So what was it that he said? Was the basics of, sorry, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you know it, I know you do. Help him along. What was the essence of Prahlad Maharaj's instruction? How to execute devotional service? How should we do it? What things should we do? Can somebody help him? Nine processes of devotional service. Can you tell me what your name is?
Nandini.
Is it? Okay. Okay, so what did Prahlad Maharaj say? Sorry, half deaf. He did say that. Thanks. Great. Good. What else did he say? Again, same things. Gopal. Nine processes of devotional service are what? How about this? Let's get the nine processes over here. We'll take you off the hook and we'll give it to the girls. Some of the nine processes. Oh, Takarani Kijai. Maharani Kijai. Some of the nine processes of devotional service. Veda, you're next. You have to speak loud. I can't hear you, but maybe the other girls can. Prahlad, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Okay, so what's Smaranam? Remembering, good, you did very good. Veda, what would you like to add? There were nine processes. Padasevanam, and what does that mean? Serving, worshiping the feet, feet. So, I know they do. I know. It's when you get called on was when you... I can totally relate. Don't worry. Huh? In the back? Chandramukhi. Thanks. Good. See, I need a coach too. Thank you. Chandramukhi Ji. Some more of the 9 processes of devotional service. So why not say really loud all of them? And then we'll go on. But don't worry, we know that you all know them too. It's just a question of, yeah, on the spot, you know, freezing brain, which we get a lot. Okay, so why are we mentioning those points? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu? Because if we hear properly and then we chant properly, and this gives us a direct path to the essence of understanding. Do you happen to remember way back when Chaturatma gave class, Chaturatma Prabhu gave class? I think it was a Tuesday he gave class. And his verse had a very interesting point in it that in the purport that Srila Prabhupada said. He said it's not only important to hear, actually he said it's more important than just hearing is to speak and repeat what you've heard. Sharing. More important than hearing is sharing. Thanks. So this is the thing. You might think that, oh, it's just one person's job to give the class or this or that or preach. No, but if the more that you, one really good exercise, okay, practical. Sometimes we talk about philosophy and then practical, like what's the practical application of it is kind of like lost in the who knows what. But practical application is something that you've heard today from class, oh gosh, that if you can remember some point in class that you liked, whether it was right in the verse or in the purport or in the discussion, if you tell somebody else, then you'll remember it better. And not only will you remember it better, but you'll get a fuller understanding. And not only will you get a fuller understanding, but you'll also see when you try to explain it, girls, yoo-hoo, ah, you got it. Just checking on you, that's all. Not only will you get a better understanding, but you'll also understand, you'll also catch what you're missing. Sometimes you think, oh, I know that. I know that story about, I know the Shaman Taka Jewel story. Now, that's a really complicated story with lots of little details and little twists and turns. So why not try to tell somebody the Shaman Taka Jewel story today? Or maybe first you should read the Shaman Taka Jewel story and then tell somebody that story. Because then you'll realize, oh, I forgot. It was Prasena was his brother's name and he was the one that was, oh, you know, I forgot that part. You know, if you don't, otherwise you'll just think, oh yeah, I know that story. Oh yeah, I know I'm not my body. Oh yeah, I know Krishna's God. But tell somebody Krishna's God and then see what their reaction is and you'll get a better understanding. And then you'll, and try, oh, and there was one other example I wanted to give about the essence. I was thinking, sorry, because I'm going to wind it up. Well, I was thinking about a dandelion. So you've seen the dandelions bloom, right? And they bloom their yellow flower. But when they go to seed, they turn into this nice fluffy ball, right? And all of those little seeds, they have just a little bit of air on them, and they go all over the place, flying here, flying there. So I've personally experienced that my brain is like a dandelion seed blowing in the wind these days. It just goes all, the mind is just going all over the place. So this is why we have to try to understand what the essence of life is, because if we go running after all the idea seeds of the mind that blow all over the place, we run after this, run after that, and try to do this, and try to do that, then what happens? A lot of time gets wasted. And you don't really satisfy the self because you're forgetting that chasing after material desires isn't going to make me happy, which was really explained in this verse also. And so we always have to focus in. what's the essence? Here's my ending statement in class. And it's a quote from Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, who'll be coming soon. Yay. Okay. He says, our first priority is to keep our first priority. Our first priority. That's the essence right there. Thank you, Krishna. I just remembered that. Our first priority is the key, our first priority to make spiritual advancement, to engage in devotional service. We have to keep that our first priority. Because if we don't keep it our first priority, so much energy is wasted on chasing those little like dandelion-like seeds blowing in the wind. And time is all used up and life is over. Oops, I'm not going to go there. Ha. Okay, I'm finished. Ragatmika and other feedback and whatever. Ragatmika Prabhu.
So what was your reply to that? Asked you...
What did I reply? I still am trying to remember what I replied. I'm going to have to ask her. So anyway, before you all go, beep, what's your first priority? Okay, and then what's your first priority? Keep remembering Krishna. Okay, have a great day. Thank you. If there are any other comments or questions or discussions, Madhumati Prabhu.
As far as that question that Ragatmika was asking, what you answered, one thought that came to my mind was that how do we know our scripture is the best? Because everybody's saying the scripture is the best. And what I thought that our scripture actually includes all the other scriptures and more. Yes. So it's not that our scripture does not accept what other, but they're just on the lower level, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, depending on the people, you have to give them on the lower level, and then sometimes you have to give. Anyway, so that was one thought. One question that I have is, you're talking about first priority, and keeping that as our first priority. Is it fine sometimes to knowing that we have our first priority, but sometimes, you know, just going after the first priority can be like, could be exhausting. Is it all right to have some kind of balance and knowing, okay, this is my first priority, but I'm tired of going through the first priority and I may need some breathing time from my first priority?
Totally understandable, but it's a question of intention. Actually, when you started to formulate that question, I thought you were going to go to the fact that, okay, so we have our first priority, but life takes up so much time, you know, just daily living, maintaining the body, the house, the this and the that, the family, takes up so much time that it might seem like that we're not working towards our first priority by doing those things. So that's where I was expecting you to go with that. But I think it's kind of related. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explains that it's intention. We have to keep our intention there, fixed on it. Because if our mind isn't focused on that, then it's too easy to get 100% distracted and not come back to it. But just like so many examples are given of how one goes about their duties in daily life, whatever that is, and either they're offering the fruit of that, their labor to Krishna or whatever, or they're trying to hear as much as they can possibly hear about Krishna or speak about Krishna as much as possible. So that's my comment. Does anyone, Trivikram Prabhu, want to add something to that?
Not on that point.
Okay, can you hold on a second? Just see if someone wants to add to that point, and then we can go on to yours. Madan Mohan Prabhu?
Well, when you
analyze what the other thing is, you may consider the if it's a weed in your garden that's growing alongside, because those things are very clearly explained by Lord Chaitanya, and you have to be a little careful of that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita, at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty. So he's saying it, ahoitukiya patiyata, that there isn't any interruption from your primary. You can do it.
Yeah. Thanks. Pran Govinda Prabhu, on that point? Yeah, okay, and then we'll go to Trivikram.
If I keep the first priority as a first priority, say my goal of life is remembering Krishna, then everything else can be adjusted according to, and at the end of my life, I will not be disappointed. Mm. I'll be very satisfied and happy. But if I don't, something else will take over, and priority, first priority become third, fourth, maybe.
Yeah, very easily. Yeah, thank you. And just one other comment, Madhumati, as you were speaking, how you were talking about how do we know this scripture is the best of scriptures. Srila Prabhupada, right in the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, he says, you'll find in this Bhagavad Gita the basic principles that are taught in all religious scriptures, but you'll also find more. So that's also a point. Trivikram Prabhu, and then Stiditi.
So point, so which scripture inspires you to serve God the most? You know, I mean, Srila Prabhupada used to say also, who we're all talking about God, but who's serving God the most?
Yeah.
Look around. Some serve on Sundays, some serve five times a day, some serve once a month, whatever. But who's serving the most? And that's how you could tell which is the best process.
Thanks.
And which scriptures inspires you to serve God the most too? That's the best scripture.
Yeah, good. And people are encouraged wherever they're at to continue. Stita D?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, whatever scripture inspires you to serve God, I mean, different people in different places. So.
Different times and different circumstances and different cultures.
You know,
go ahead.
Well, I don't know about which is the best scripture, but the best class is obviously this one.
People are speaking so many falsities in front of the deities. Hari Ram. Anyway. But actually, the most important person in the class are the listeners. The speaker, because a listener can hear and pick up, a good listener can hear and pick up the good things from a mixed presentation.
Yeah, but people can't listen, that someone's actually...
Okay, anyway, what else would you like to say?
Well, when we're saying best, I mean, I'm getting a little relative here. That's a judgmental call. So, best for what? So
that's a good point.
You know, different scriptures, you know, we might analyze, perhaps, that they give some bhakti, but perhaps they have a lot of incentives to get to the bhakti. So, whereas we'll also argue in the Chaitanya tradition, he's just breaking open the bhakti and it's just blowing everything else away. Or the Bhagavatam opens up like that too. So, we'll say best for focus, perhaps we can qualify, it's best for focusing on bhakti and self-realization within the bhakti tradition.
Thanks. Madan Mohan, behind you.
Just a little remembrance of Srila Prabhupada was asked by one of his disciples about comparative religions, and he responded back that we don't say, they say, we say. Prabhupada said that we say that Krishna says this, and they understand this amount of it. Mm. So all the different religions, they understand this amount of Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. And just one, I comment on Stita D's comment. While Stita D was talking, I glanced down at my notes and I had one more little example of Alice in Wonderland. And I figured if I would have said it when all the kids were here, I don't think anybody reads Alice in Wonderland anymore. But if you remember the part when Alice comes up and she's trying to figure out how to get out of the little garden or something, I don't remember the scene too much, but anyway, she asks that great sage, the Cheshire Cat, she says, which is the right path? And he said, where do you want to go? She says, I don't know. She said, then any path will take you. It's such a great point, isn't it? So we... at least we get information on what the goal is to fix our mind on, so we know what path to go on. Okay. Sankalpa Prabhu.
Okay. also, we have the Guru Parampara, which is very traceable. We can actually study the lives of each of these, at least from Lord Chaitanya onwards, study the lives of these members of the Guru Parampara. And they have given the literature in a pure way, so it's linked to Krishna.
Thank you. And I think we have one more comment by Pran Govinda Prabhu, and then we'll wrap it up. Thanks.
When Porter asked Prabhupada, what's the purpose of life? It's a very simple thing he says, to be happy. So Mahaprabhu gave the same thing what Prabhupada said, prema pumartha mahan. Where in any scripture anywhere found that ultimate selfless pure love is demonstrated anywhere beside Bhagavatam? Where? Today's sloka is actually a question.
And it's the answer, a question? Is that what you said, question?
Today's translation is actually a question.
Uh-huh.
One of the six questions. And the answer is 1.3.40. Idam Bhagavatam Nama Purananam Brahma Sanghitam. The Bhagavatam gives on what basis? On that basis that it is perfectly proven that it satisfies the soul, the super soul, the Supreme Lord, and it's never ever contaminated by anything. Its soul will be eternally completely satisfied. We live for love. That's
Jai,
fact.
Thanks. And of course, there's one more thing, DDDs. If I don't call them, we'll have to call the...
The Alice in Wonderland quote by Lewis Carroll. I looked it up, and it's... I lost it. But basically, it's if you don't know where you're going, any path will take you there.
Basically, that's it. That's why we want to know where we're going so we can get there. Thank you. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.